Okay, Rabbi Sai, today's daf is daf Chof Tes, and we're holding Chof Ches Amid Beis, six lines from the bottom, where the Gemara begins in the two dots, Gufa. And we're continuing to talk about the same inyanim that we spoke about yesterday, and that is certain foods that can or cannot be used for a Reuven, as well as the brachos on those foods. So says the Gemara, Guf Amrav Yudah Amrav. Kishas are hops. Hops are made, are used in brewing beer. Chaziz, we had already yesterday. Chaziz means green grain, which means grain that has not fully ripened yet. It's still green. Ma'arvin behem, you can use them for an erev. Apparently people eat hops and eat green grain, so therefore they are erev material. And you make a bracha because they grow from the ground. Even though we said yesterday, kishus doesn't grow directly from the ground, it typically grows on top of a bush. But as we said yesterday, if and when the bush gets cut from the ground, then the kishus stops growing. So obviously the kishus is getting its yanika, its nourishment from the ground vis-a-vis the bush. Good. Since the halacha is by a Reuven, especially by a Reuven Tchumen, you have to put away the equivalent of two seudais. We know what two seudais are when you're talking about bread. You put away two bukalach or what have you. The question is, what do you do with kish v'chaziz? What is the shear? How much? The kish v'chaziz, kish v'chaziz, how many hops? Kiram Rav Yechiel, kimuloi hayat. Like Rabbi Yechiel said elsewhere, which we'll see in another two lines, that the shear is kmalei ayad. Kmalei ayad means a handful, a fistful. Here too, by kishus, the shear is kmalei ayad. Chaziz bekama. What about the green grain? Amar Rabbi Bar Tuvia, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rav, kmalei uzilsa di ikri. Ikri, ikarim, are farmers. Kmalei means what adds up the amount of uzilza. Rashi says uzilza means agudos yerek. These are bundles of vegetables that were put together by the farmers. So a standard bunch or standard bundle, that would be the shear that you hold in your hand for purposes of the chaziz. You can also make an eruv with kalya. What says kalya? So you see Rashi two lines from the bottom. Kelach shel esev. Esev is grass. Kelach would mean a blade or a stalk of grass. The koshekates, and this is very, very hard grass. So this kalya, you could also make an eruv. Faking more of a kalya solkadaitach. If Rashi says that it's as hard as a piece of wood, or as we would say today, as hard as a rock, how can you use that for an eruv? It's not edible if it's hard as wood. So you're right, el biyarka de kalya. We don't mean the kalya itself, but we mean the greens and the grass that grow out of the kalya, and those already are edible. And what's the shiva kama? Oh, this is Rabbi Yechiel that we had two lines ago. I'm Rabbi Yechiel, kibalei ayad. The amount that fills up a whole hand, a handful, a fistful. Says Yimar, Rabbi Yirmiya nofak likiryosa. Rabbi Yirmiya went out to the shtetlich, to the, Rashi says, to the kvarim. Just like you have in Eretz Yisrael, Kiryat Tzanz, or Kiryat Ono. You have a number of different kiryos, which means like small towns, small villages. So he went out to the kiryosa. The reason is because apparently Rabbi Yirmiya had a number of farms in different communities. So he went to go and inspect them from time to time. So when he went out to this kiryos, they asked him the shayla, Maula arev bepulin lachin. Can you use for an erev pulin lachin? Pulin lachin means moist beans. Lo yahava biyada. He didn't know the answer. Kios lebe drasha, when he got into the besmedish, omolei hachi omer b'yanai ma'arvin v'pulin lachin. Yes, you can go and make an eruv with moist beans. Obviously with hard beans, which are not cooked, it's impossible to bite. But if they're nice and moist, they are edible. V'kama, how much, again, is the shear of the two seudois for Shabbos, omer b'chil, like we just had already a couple of times. Ma'arvin b'tardin chayin. Tardin in Eretz Yisrael today, tered is spinach, but in Chazal, tardin refers to beets. And in fact, the Gemara uses two synonymous terms for the same item. both Tardim, and as we'll see in a moment, also Silka. Both of those mean beets. And the Gemara tells Ma'arvin, you can go and make an Erev B'Tardim Chayin with raw beets. Even though raw beets are quite hard, yes, you can make an Erev with them. Pray Gemara, Eini, V'Rav Chizda, Silka Chaya, if you have raw beets, Kotel Gavra Chaya, they are so hard, and so strong, and so potent, and so dangerous, that Chas V'Sholem, live, active people, go and eat from live, active, raw beets, and Chalila, they pass away. Rachmon Litzlan. Silka Chaya, raw beets, Kotel kills Gavra Chaya, a live individual. That doesn't sound like the type of food that you should use for an Erev. And for the Gemara, who bit boshel, v'loy boshel. If they're totally raw, they are okay. If they happen to be partially cooked, that's when you're getting into trouble. Partially cooked beets, which are not fully cooked, oy, chas v'shalom, that could be fatal. Ikri Ami, there was another version, which comes out the same way, but it starts off differently. Omer Rav Amnuna, ein ma'arvin b'tardim chayin, you cannot. The previous one was that ma'arvin b'tardim chayin, and we asked the kasha from Rav Chizda. According to this version, it's the other way around. Omer Rav Amnuna, ein ma'arvin b'tardim chayin. You know why? Diom Rav Chizda, silka chayin, kotel gavra chayin. Raw beets are dangerous to your health. They should go and put, the Surgeon General has to put a piece of paper, a stamp there, telling everybody, don't eat raw beets, chas v'sholem, it can be dangerous. Therefore, ein ma'arvin. I saw this morning people at my table, they ate raw beets, and they said it can't be beet. And they're still alive and kicking, and they're still davening, and everything is fine. And Baruch Hashem, they didn't die. That we say that raw beets are dangerous only if they're partially cooked. If they happen to be totally raw, they're great. They can't be beat. However, if you went and started cooking them and you didn't finish cooking them, then the chas v'sholem can be dangerous. And in fact, the Gemara tells us that really well-cooked beets are givaldik. Omer Rav Chizda. Tavshel shel tardim. This is the same Rav Chizda that said a moment ago, if you eat raw beets, kotel gavra. However, if you cook the beets, tavshel shel tardim, yofel alev, that's good for the heart. Tovel einayim, it's good for the vision. Don't eat any more carrots like Bugs Bunny. Start eating now cooked beets. The kosh kelev b'nei ma'am, that's certainly good for b'nei ma'am. And as you know, a lot of people love to eat borscht for Pesach. And therefore, they also say, yes,
great for blood pressure.
Well, blood pressure too. That's what the Gemara said.
Yofel alev. It's good for your blood pressure.
It's good. It's good for the heart. Exactly. It's good for the blood pressure. Exactly. Certainly for the digestive system. The cooked beets, this is gevaldik. Omer Abaye. Abaye says they have to be very well cooked. Who the Yosef Abitapi, they have to go and sit on top of the stove. The Ovid Toich Toich. Till the point that when you cook it, it makes the noise toich toich. In other words, as you hear the steam coming out of the pot, it goes and makes a noise toich toich with a sound something similar to that, and then you know it's really cooked well. Rashi says the beets have to be adshini muach. The muach means that they start disintegrating and they start becoming liquid. Then it really is gishmak, and then it's really healthy. Omerava. We find another Gemara, the Ben Azai, who was considered to be one of the Gedoli Hador in his generation, he would go out and Shukit Tveri and say, Rabbi Isai, today I'm available for all types of questions. And in fact, Ben Azai, the Gemara quotes as saying, Kol Chachmi Yisrael Lefonai, Keklipas Hashum, all other Chachamim before me are like Keklipas Hashum, like the shell, like the peel of a garlic, except for this baldy, and the baldy they was referring to was Rabbi Akiva. So we see that Ben Azai was a great genius, was a great, great scholar. So says the Gemara that Rava said, Rashi said, the Yom Bedicha, and Bedicha means a day that he was in a particularly good mood, Rava would go and quote and say the same thing, I'm like Ben Azai today, Bishuki Tveria, anybody has any questions, come and ask. Is Omlehu Merabanan. So one of the Tamid HaChom asked the Rava, Tapuchim Bekama. What happens if you're making an Erev out of apples. What is the shear? How many apples do you need? Sarava says, how do you know that you can even use apples? I'm not so sure you can use apples. Frank the Moral of the Law, you can't use apples. But tonight we have a Mishnah. Call who oichlin, all foods. Mitzar for lifts a segvia. If a koyin eats foods which happen to be tamei, and he eats what we call a shear of a chotzi pras, then the koyin can become tamei. He doesn't become tamei min hatoira, he becomes tamei mid rabbanan. Because min hatoira, a food item cannot be metamei odem dekelim, only ochlin umashkin. However, the chacham were concerned that if a person, in particular a koyin, eats a food which became tamei, he might at the same time also either eat or drink something which is truma, and that item of truma might touch the oichlin tamein in his mouth, and therefore it's going to become tamei. And therefore the Chacham said a koyin should not eat any food items which are tamei. And if he does, his whole body becomes tamei, and he has to go to the mikveh. So what's that shear? So says the Mishnah, Kol ha'oichlin mitzarf l'psev segviya v'chatzi pras, the shear v'chatzi pras of a loaf of bread. U'bimozoin shtei sudois le'erev. Oh, all oichlin, if you want to go and put away for an erev, the shear is kishtei sudois, like we've said a number of times. U'kebeila tami tumas oichlin, to transmit tuma to another ochel, the first ochel has to be at least the shear of a kebeah. Good. So, what do I see from this Mishnah? That all oichlin are mitzarfin le'eruv. So, that would seem to include tapuchim. And that's the kasha on Rava. V'chim arvin b'tapuchim, Rava says, how do you know you can go be ma'arev with apples? I know because the Mishnah says all oichlin. What's the kasha on Rava? Ilay mishum diktoni kol oichlin, like we said. V'hani b'nei achilin ninu. And apples are edible, so they're kol oichlin. V'omer Rabbi Yochanan, ein lemeidim min haklolis afil v'mokim shenema v'ichutz. We started off our perek when we learned b'koyu ma'arvin. So Rabbi Yochanan said, even though it says in the Mishnah b'koyu ma'arvin chutz min ha'melach u'min ha'mayim, so Rabbi Yochanan, ein lemeidim min haklolis. You can never go and draw the halacha from general rules, because all general rules have an exception. And if you can find a general rule that doesn't have an exception, that will be the exception to the rule that all rules have exceptions. Anyway, so the Mishnah said at the beginning of our parak, and the Mishnah says many other places, that kol ma'arvin u'mishtatvin chutz minamayim melamelach. So I would think from the fact that our Mishnah says everything except for water and salt, it sounds like this is a very, very definitive, very conclusive list. Says Rabbi Yochanan, it's not so conclusive. There are, in fact, other items that you cannot use for an Erev. The Gemara told us the other day, Kmein Upitrius, which are types of mushrooms. Aha. Okay, anyway, but bottom line is, so even though it says over here, Kolo Oichlin, Lav Dafka Kolo Oichlin, maybe it excludes apples. Says Gemara, I'll tell you why. Since in this Mishnah it says that all food items not only are acceptable for purposes of an Erev, but also that if you have a kibbeah, if you have the size of an egg, then tumas oichlin. Says Morvani Nami b'nei tmuye tumas oichlin ninu. Apples are oichlin, so therefore they can receive tumah, like from a nevela or from a sheretz, and they can transmit tumah to other food items. So there's no reason why apples should not be kosher for purposes of an eruv. And that being the case, says the Gemara, Bekama, like we started off. Rava says, Hareni kibinaz b'shuka tveya. One of the rabbanim asked him, Bekama. We've now established that apples can be used for Erevin. The question is, how many apples? Amram Nachman tapuchim bekav. The amount that you can fit into a kav. How much is a kav? A kav is 4 loigin. A loig has in it 6 beyim. So therefore a kav has the equivalent of 24 beyim. the number of apples that is equal to 24 eggs, 2 dozen eggs worth of apples. That's the Shtei Sudas that we're talking about for purposes of the Eruv, for Eruv et Chumen on Shabbos. Frank Mar Meisve, you told me it's a kav of apples. Why? Meisve, Reb Shimon Loza Oimer. Now we go through a number of different food items and the different shiurim for purposes of an Eruv. We start off with Uchla Tavlin. Now, the truth of the matter is that this brisa is not talking about Eruv yet. We're going to talk about Eruv in another moment. The brisa at the outset is talking about Matnas Aniyim, or specifically Maser Oni. As we know, the Shemitah cycle is divided up into 7 years. The first three, or all 6 years, you have to give Truma and you have to give Maaser Rishay. The question is, what do you give in addition to Truma Maaser Rishay? So in year number one, and in year number two, and in year number four, and year number five, besides Maaser Rishay, you have to be Mafresh Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni, you have to take up either the Maaser Sheni itself, or money to Yerushalayim and Eden Yerushalayim. In years three and six, instead of Maaser Sheni, Kodesh Baruch Hu says Maaser Oni. Maaser Oni means you give 10% for the Aniyim. Now, the Pasuk uses the expression V'noasata la-levi, la-ger, la-yosem, la-almona, and Darshan Chazal, V'noasata means it has to be a sheer nesina. So you cannot decide, if you have a whole bunch of Aniyim coming to you, that you give each one of them a little nothing, but each one of them, that as long as you have matnas, you have the Maaser Oni, you have to give them a psakhtei nesina, a choshev nesina. Don't just give them a dime or a nickel or a quarter, you have to go and give them something choshev. So what is choshev? So if you're talking about tavlin are spices, you give them like the shear of an uchla. What's the shear of an uchla? Rashi says an uchla is an eighth of a litra, and a litra is the same size as a loig, 1/8 of a loig, which is a relatively small shear. For litra yerek, and a full litter of yerek, of greens, like of vegetables. Vasore goizen, 10 walnuts, v'chamisha farsikim, and 5 afarsikim. Afarsikim are peaches, ushnei rimoinim, and 2 pomegranates, the esrik echad, and 1 esrik. So now this is all talking about the din of Maaser Oni. The Yom Gursak Bar Dori Mishmei Derav Menashe Bar Sheguvli Mishmei Derav. The Chen LeEruv. The same thing applies to Eruv as well. That these are all the Shiurim. Okay. So what's the Kasha? The Kasha was that we said that Tapuchim is the Shir of a Kav. Notice in this Braisa, or this Halacha of this Braisa of Reb Shimon Elazar, it says, when it comes to a farsikin, which are peaches, 5 peaches. So Frey Timura, Bahani Nami Lehevi Kia Farsikin. Why don't I go and say that apples and peaches are basically interchangeable? They are both relatively the same size, and they are fresh fruits that people enjoy eating as fruits. So Ebazoi, just like 5 peaches, why don't I say 5 apples? Why do I say a kav of apples? Peaches are more choshev than apples. Apparently, you didn't have as many peaches as you have apples. My wife and I, about 35 years ago or so, we went to Russia and on Bishlichas of the Aguda, because at that time we were trying to be Makarev, the Bali Tshuva in Moscow and in what was called at that time Leningrad. Today it's called St. Petersburg. It was always called St. Petersburg, and then they changed it to Leningrad and then Stalingrad. Anyway, so that was the time before Gorbachev and before the Iron Curtain came tumbling down. At that time, Yuri Andropov was the head of the president and the head of the KGB, and all of the Yidden in Moscow, when they mentioned the name Yuri Andropov, they always quickly added Yimach Shemai, because he was a terrible tyrant, just like all of the other Russian leaders. Anyway, why am I telling you this story? I'm telling you the story is because besides doing Kiruv, we gave Shiurim for, I gave Shiurim for the men, my wife gave Shiurim for the ladies, to try to give them some Chizuk, because they were being oppressed every day by the KGB. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we also wanted to do, quote-unquote, a little bit of touring. So we went to Gorky Street. Gorky Street was the equivalent of Fifth Avenue or Broadway, a major thoroughfare. And we went into a fruit store. So you figure fruit store on Gorky Street. And 90% of all of the displays were empty. The only thing that they sold in the store were apples. They didn't have any oranges, they didn't have any pears, they didn't have any plums or any peaches, they didn't have any tomatoes, they didn't have any potatoes. It was barren. The only thing that they had was apples. Of course, it was because of the corrupt communist system. But anyway, to cut a long story short, that was the only thing. It shows that, you know, in America at the time, just like today, you can go and get in your standard fruit store, you can go and get any type of vegetable or fruit. But there you only had apples. Good. So I come home with my wife after 2 weeks, and then a few days later we were together in a cab, and guess who was driving the cab? None other than a Russian cab driver. And so we told him, we just came back from Russia. Oh, really? What did you see? What did you do? So he told him we were in Moscow and we were in a food store in Gorky Street. He said, and I told him, can you imagine? In this Fifth Avenue Broadway fruit store, the only thing they sold were apples. And he looked at me and says, really? They had apples? They actually had apples? In other words, he was convinced that they wouldn't have anything because of the corruption of the communists. And he couldn't believe that they actually sold apples. He thought it would just be empty. We went into certain supermarkets, and you had huge supermarkets, 10, 12 aisles. Aisle after aisle after aisle were empty, not a thing on the shelf. One aisle was full of beans, cans of beans. So we asked the local Russians, how come there's so many cans of beans? How come this is not sold out? He says, because everybody knows here in Moscow that if you eat these beans, you get botulism. They know that these are poisoned beans, and therefore everybody leaves it on the shelf and nobody buys it. But everything else was off the shelves, everything else was sold because of the system. Anyway, why are we getting into all of this? We're getting into all this because we're talking about the peaches. There were no peaches in Russia at the time. I think today there is no problem, but at that time there were no peaches and no plums. So it's a dover choshev ma'oid, a farsikim. Hani chashivi. But apples, you get apples the whole year. Even on Gorky Street in Russia, you can get apples. It's the only thing you can get, but you can get apples. So therefore, since it's not so chashiv, so for purposes of your two seudais, a person would normally eat one precious peach per meal. So if you have five peaches altogether, das is genug. If you have apples, people will tend to eat more apples because it's not as expensive, it's not as chashiv, so you need a larger quantity of a kaf. Welcome, Barry. I hope your wife is okay and everything is well. Good. Says the Moravite, Omer of Yosef, Sharle Morei l'Menashe bar Shiguvli. The word Sharle Morei is a very polite way of saying, in Yiddish they say, Ez Oma Moichelzan. In other words, he should please excuse me. He's saying to, Rav Yosef saying to Menashe, in a nice way, you made a boo-boo. What's your boo-boo? Ano amrita nile amasisen vu omra abraisa. Meaning Rav Yosef said, we just had Rav Menashe bar Shiguvli quoting Rav, and Rav said V'chein le'eruv. That V'chein le'eruv was said on the braisa which began Rav Shimon ben Elazar Oimer. Says Rav Yosef, I have a Kabbalah that when Rav said V'chein le'eruv, he wasn't going on that braisa, but rather he's going on the following Mishnah that we're going to quote right now. And you see the Lashon Sharlei Morei often in Tshuvas Svarim, where one Rav in his tshuva says that he heard that Rav Hagoin, etc., paskind X, Y, and Z, and this person who's writing the tshuva, respectfully disagrees, and therefore he says Vishar Le Mare, which is a polite way of saying, you should please excuse me, I respectfully disagree. So Rav Yosef again is saying, Rav Menashe bar Shiguvli, excuse me, but I respectfully disagree, and I see Barry also disagrees. Yes, Barry.
I just asked you, where are we in the Gemara, please?
No problem. We're in Talmud Bavli, Masechtas Erevin, on Dav Chof Tes, and specifically on the fourth wide line of the Omer Aleph. Chof Tes Omer Aleph.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I should have told you when you showed up. I'm sorry for my lack of forethought. Anyway, so the Gemara continues. Vu Omra Abraisa. So Rav Yosef is saying that Menashe bar Shiguvli said, V'chein le'erev, in the name of Rav, on the brice that we learned a moment ago, but really he said it on the following Mishnah. What's the Mishnah that now we learned in the Mishnah? Again, we're talking about the din of Meiser Oni in the third and in the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. That ain't poichsel oni begoyren, you don't give the oni less than mechatzi kav chitim mekav seoyren. If he's collecting grain, minimum a half a kav of chitim of wheat and a kav of seoyren of barley. Remeir oimer chatzi kav seoyren. Remeir says that the shear for barley is the same shear as wheat, only a chatzi kav. And the kav v'chetzi koismen. Koismen, as you know, is another one of the five of the Chamisha mine dogim. We have chitas oira, kusmin, shiboy l'shul, and shipoin. So when it comes to kusmin, it's 1.5 kavim. The kav groy grois. Remember groy grois, because we're going to have that on the omid beis. Groy grois are dried out figs. So a kav of those. Oy mana dvela. Mana is a shear. It's a measure. Dvela is a cake of dates, which have been pressed together. The Gemara calls them often igule dvela, because they're round cakes. So the amount of these dates has to be a mana. Sorry? Yes, Brother Shai?
Are they figs, maybe?
Dvela, I believe, are dates. So that's the shear of the dates, is a mana. And Rav Akiva Oimer pras. Rav Akiva says not a full mana, but a half a mana. V'chatzi loig yayin, and a half of a loig of wine. Rabbi Kiva Oimer Revius. Revius is the normal amount of wine that we drink. Let's say for Kiddush, you have a Revius, a loig. So according to the Tanakama, the shear is chatzi loig. And Rabbi Kiva says a Revius is also enough for giving to the ani, for Meiser ani. Or Revius Shemen, if you're giving him Shemen, give him a Revius. Rabbi Kiva Oimer Sheminis, half of that shear. Doesn't have to be a Revius, you can give him a Sheminis. The Shar Kol HaPeiros and all other types of peiros, Omer Abba Shol, Kereshiyim Krein, the Yikach Behen Mozin Shtei Sudais. If you talk about any other type of food item, fruits, etc., that we have not enumerated, then it's the amount that were you to go and sell them in the street, you could go and get money that would be sufficient to supply you with two Sudais. Good. So now this is all talking about Matnois and Yim, specifically the Maser Oni in the third and the sixth year. The Omer Rav, the same thing is the Chen Erev. Oh, so this is where Rav Yosef is saying, Omer Rav, he didn't say it on the previous Brisa, but he said it on this Mishnah, which we just learned. Sefreitimar, Omei Omei Dehai Mehach, big deal, Rav Yosef. Who cares whether he said it on the Brisa or he said it on the Mishnah? Both the Brisa and the Mishnah are enumerating various foods that you want to be able to give, or that you're giving for Meiser Oni, and Rav says, and the same Shi'urim apply to Erev. And if you'll notice, the two lists in the Braisa and the Mishnah are mutually exclusive. There is no repetition over here. So what's so terrible that Rav Menashe Bar Sheguvli said this in the name of Rav on the Braisa as opposed to the Mishnah? You know, maybe it's stuck on both. Well, this is Ma Kol HaRash that Rav Yosef had to go and say, Charlie Murray, he should excuse me. So now the Gemara is speculating. Perhaps the reason why Rav Yosef was making this silent protest against Rav Menashe Bar Sheguvli is Ilei Mishum Dekotoni Bahach Tavlin. Maybe it's because in the first Braisa that we had, Rav Shimon Elazar talks about Uchla, the measure of Uchla, of Tavlin, of spices. V'tavla b'nei achilininu, and that's why Rav Yosef is somewhat offended by what Rav Menashe Bar Sheguvli says, that Omer Rav, that the same thing applies to an Erev. Can you go and take Tavlin and use that for an Erev? After all, Erev has to be something which is edible. These are spices. Spices you go and use when you're cooking a stew or soup, roast, chulent, whatever. You don't go and eat spices. So maybe that's the reason why he was, shall I say, offended. And that's why you said, Rav Yosef, aha, no. He didn't say in the Brice, he said it on this Mishnah. After all, the Mishnah that we just learned now also started off talking about chitin esoidim. Okay, I can understand giving that for Meiser Oni to the Aniyim, but can you make an Erev on raw chitin esoidim? Is that b'nei achilinu? Can you eat that at meals on Shabbos? Ella, the reason probably why Rav Yosef was saying that he goes on a Mishnah, and the Brayis Mishnah Diktoni Chatzi Loig Yayin, that the amount of wine to go and give to the Aniyim is a Chatzi Loig. Chatzi Loig means two Revi'asin, because a revius, when we talk about in Shas about a revius, we mean a revius of a loik, and so therefore a revius means a quarter of a loik. So by definition, chatzi loik means two reviusin. The Omer Rav, and Rav separately said, Ma'arvin b'shtei revius shel yayin, that you go and give an erev for Shabbos, two reviusin and yayin. The reason why two reviusin, one for one meal, one for the other meal, right? You're going to make kiddush at both meals, so each one needs one revius. So you have to have two altogether. Ah, since I see that Rav required shtei reviyasin, and guess what? When it comes to Meiser Oni, the Mishnah also said shtei reviyasin. So, putting 2 plus 2 together, because of the similarity in Halacha, the Rav said 2 reviyasin for Erev, and the Mishnah says 2 reviyasin for purposes of Meiser Ani, it's logical to assume that Rav is going on that Mishnah as opposed to on the previous Brisa. Fine. Omama. Umozin shtei su'udois le'erev. When it comes to mozoin, food items, 2 su'udas for erev. So Rav Yosef Ameimah, the ikka su'uda mehai u su'uda mehai. So Rav Yosef wanted to conclude that since you have to have 2 su'udois, the maximum varieties of foods that you can have would be one from this and one from that. Meaning, we have, for instance, 1 challah that would be enough for one meal, and enough wine, for instance, for the second meal. So that you'd have 1 plus 1, 2 su'udois. Omalei Rabba, it doesn't have to be dafka 2 varieties, a filim mechzel shushmeraviyah. Even if you have all different types of foods, you have a little bit of challah, and you have a little bit of wine, and you have a little bit of shemen, and you have a little bit of this, that, and the other thing, of afarsikin, and egoizim, and the yerek. In other words, it doesn't have to be 2 sudas of just one type of item on the menu, one course. You can have multiple courses as long as they all add up to shtei sudas. Gufa, omarab, ma'arv mishter revi'a shel yayin, 2 revi'asin of wine. Faitim would be being in kol ha'i, do you really need so much? V'atayin reb shimon alazer, oyim ha'yayin k'de lechel boy, choymetz k'de letabel boy, zeisim v'tzolim k'de lechel behen, shtei su'udais. What is this all about? What is this yayin k'de lechel boy, choymetz k'de letabel boy? So Rashi lets us in on a major chidush that we didn't have until now. And that is, that when it comes to shtei su'udais, it doesn't mean food items that you eat from that food item alone, and then you are satisfied. In fact, the Chachamim were makel considerably, and they said, for instance, it's the amount of that item that you would normally eat at a meal. So, take for instance, as you know, it's become almost a worldwide universal minig today that people, after they finish the fish, or some people instead of the fish or together with the fish, they have to have 150 different dips to go and dip their challah into on Friday night or Shabbos day. When I was a kid, we didn't know of any of that. The only thing that you put your fish in was in the fish yoach, in the fish sauce, and if you had a little chrein, so you got that too. But today you have guacamoles, and you have hummus, and tchina, and who knows what, baba ganoush, and 1,000 other different dips, and it's a big business, and it's gigantic. Anyway, what our Gemara is telling us is that, for instance, if you're talking about hummus or tchina for 2 meals, it doesn't mean that you have to go and buy 10 of those containers, that you should fill yourself up 2 meals with hummus, and it's probably impossible to go and eat just a meal out of hummus, but anything is possible today. So, the amount of hummus or baba ganoush or tchina that you would need would be the amount that you would typically eat in 2 meals, with, of course, challah, or matzah, or cake, or whatever you smear the thing on, rice cakes, whatever you put it on, that amount of hummus and tchina that you would use for 2 meals, that's enough. And that's what Gemara is telling us now. Yain k'de lechel bay. We're not talking about yain over here to go and drink, but rather wine that people eat together with their challah. Rashi says, lafis behenes apas. Now, some of you are wondering, do you really go and put challah into wine? Number one, they probably are. But I remember as a kid, whenever we were in shul and there was tikkun after davening in shul, you'd see the Altayin from the Haim, they would always go and take the piece of sponge cake and they would go and dip it into the bromfin, into those little little cups. That's the way we used to go and eat it. They would be metabol boy, they would go, they wouldn't eat it, drink and eat it separately, but they would go and put the sponge cake into the bromfin, into the schnapps. So here too, presumably that's the same type of thing, that they put the pas into the wine. And same thing as choymitz kedei l'tabel boy. Choymitz is vinegar, and again, to use it today, we would say for salad dressing, or whatever, if a person wants to go and dip his challah or something into choymitz, whatever that amount is. Nobody goes and drinks a whole bottle of vinegar at one meal. Whatever amount of vinegar that you need for your salad dressing per meal, that's enough. Zeisim v'tzolim kedei lechol behen shtei seudais. When it comes to olives and to onions, the amount that you normally eat in two meals. Again, not that you eat an entire meal only of zeisim v'tzolim, but the amount that you would typically eat as part of your meal. Most people would not eat a full meal only of onions. In fact, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, it can even be somewhat dangerous to your health. Anyway, but bottom line is I have now a kasha. The kasha is on Rav. Rav said a moment ago that the amount of Erev is b'shtei Rav Yishel Yayin. And here you're saying Yayin k'dei lechol bay, which certainly sounds like a different shear, and presumably is a smaller shear than the shear of the two Rav Yisim. Everything in Mara Hasa Mechamim Mevashla, the Yayin that we're talking about to go on the table by lechol bay, is talking about cooked wine. Cooked wine is a different shear. Ah, when you're talking about regular wine, it's the amount that you drink at seudas. One revius per seudas, you have two revius in altogether. We're talking about cooked wine, which was not used for drinking, but rather used for dipping in your challah or using as a dip. Just say, a lot of people pour wine into, for instance, when they're making a roast or other type of meal. So that wine, certainly it's going to be cooked, but you could even have cooked wine as you initially when you're using it for cooking. So you're having, you're drinking the wine not as a drink, but you're drinking it as you're eating it together with the challah or something else. The table boy, the amount of vinegar that people use as a dip. The amount of, again, you're not talking about putting away for your Erev two bottles of vinegar, one per meal, but the amount of vinegar that you would use as salad dressing for your yerek. Two meals, if you're going to have two meals of salad, the amount of salad dressing that you would put in for those two meals. But Ikadiyamid, there's another version which is almost the same. Amrav Gidol Amarav, yerek ha-ne'achal b'shtei sudais. Salad that you're eating at two meals. Now what's the difference between the first memra of Rav Gidol Amarav and the Ikadiyamri? It says Rashi. The first one, k'dei l'tabel boy, mozin shtei sudais, means that your entire meal from beginning to end is just salad. Oh, so then you need a larger amount of salad dressing. The second, Rav Gidol Amarav, is referring to yerek ha-nechal b'shtei sudais. It's a suda that you're eating other items as well. You might be eating the salad together, for instance, with your meat, or as a middle course, or whatever. So that's not the only item that you're eating at your meal. You have other courses. Oh, so the amount of salad dressing for that amount of salad, which of course is less than if it was just an exclusively salad meal.
You don't eat it. You only eat it with a, as, in other words, you have to have the salad with it. Or if it's in the case before we had a wine, it's a dip. The sponge cake or whatever else you're dipping into it.
You do not need to. You can, but it's not necessary. The amount for, remember the din of Erevin, the Gemara is learning about the two sudas is the Rabbanon, therefore the Rabbanon will make, as long as you put away enough relish, enough hummus, enough vinegar for two meals, that's enough. You don't even need the other items that you would use for dipping into them.
Even though you wouldn't eat it, the person wouldn't eat that as a meal. It's only the relish.
Correct. That's correct.
It's a big cooler.
But remember, we're talking about a symbolic residence. Yet it's a mokum shvisa, but nobody really lives there. So the chumus, and that's enough. Omar, zeizim tom kidei lechol behen mozin shtei sudas. Can you actually use onions for an Erev, Vatanya, Rav Shimon Elazar. Pam achas sholas Rav Meir ba'ardiska. One time Rav Meir was with us over Shabbos in Ardiska. Ubo adam echel afan, a person came to him, and he said to him, Omaloi Rebbe, irabti b'betzolim l'tivin. I wanted to go to the town of Tivin, and that's why I put an Erev, I made it out of betzolim. Rav Meir said, your Erev was not valid. Vayishiva Rav Meir ba'arva amishalai. And Rav Meir said, you have to stay here for the rest of Shabbos and Arba Amos, because the halacha is when a person goes beyond his Tchum Shabbos, he has to go and then stay in Arba Amos, and he cannot move to the right, to the left, he only gets Arba Amos. So we see from that that you cannot go and use an Erev with Petzalim. It depends when you're talking about onions, what part of the onions? You have the leaves of the onions. We don't really see those because when they're marketed, presumably they've cut all those leaves off. But presumably when they're in the ground, they have leaves and they have different grass and greens coming out of it. That's one. Habimois means with the actual onions themselves. So which one is bad and which one is good? Those green-looking grass or greens that are extending from the onions are very deceptive. You look at them, you say, oh, they look so great. But look at the last Rashi. Alin loichashivi v'royim lechol. Those are the bad guys. And that's apparently the betzolim that this fellow that went to Tivin, he was ma'arev with those greens. And Remeya said, no good, and stick around with me for the rest of Shabbos. Tesanya, like we learned in Breiser. Ochol botzel v'hishkim umeis. If a person ate onions before he went to sleep, and then afterwards he wakes up in the morning and he doesn't wake up, and you go to his bed and you say, Yankel, where are you? And never, it's a big mess because Yankel passed away. You don't have to call the doctor or the Hatzolah to try to figure out and diagnose and do an autopsy. How did the person die? The reason is because he ate the betzolim, the onions, the night before. And again, the Omer Shmuel, and Barry will immediately pipe up and say that Shmuel was a greater doctor. That the person dies in the morning, or he didn't wake up in the morning, and you're saying, why? Because he ate betzolim the night before, that's only the alim, if he ate those greens, because those can be fatal. Avimois, he's talking about the regular, normal onions that you buy in the street, less limbo, that's not a problem, and you can use those for an eighth. Even by the alim that we said that are fatal, ela deloy, onto the amid beis, to lay ivtzel zirsa, which means that they were still small, and the entire size of the alim, or the onions, was the size of a zeres. A zeres we've had from time to time in the Gemara, that's a half an amma. Aval ivtzel zirsa, if it was greater than the Zeres and less limbo, then it's not a problem. The reason why it's not a problem, why it is a problem if it's only a Zeres, because since it's a Zeres, that means it's so small, so the Rashi calls it Eres, which literally means venom or poison. That poison that's inside the onions, since it's concentrated in such a small area, that could be fatal. However, if the onion is had to expand and grow to a normal growth, then whatever poison it has in that onion can spread throughout the onion, and therefore it won't be fatal if you eat from those alim. Amra Papa, lo yamar na dolo ishti shikra, av lo ishti shikra les lenbar. Rav Papa, who was a brewer of beer, so therefore he knew beer better than anybody else, he said it only becomes fatal if you don't drink beer. But if you drink beer with your onions, nothing to worry about. Baruch Hashem, this person will have a refuah shleima. He'll be able to live till 120. Just keep on drinking the beer, and you can grin and bear it when you eat your onions. So the more vital. Tan rabbanon liyechal adam batzel minei nochash shabai. Don't eat betzolim. Betzolim again are onions because of nochash. Now we don't mean literally a nochash, the snake. But we mean this nachash here is referring to the eris, the venom or the poison that's in the snake. So you have the same type of poison, so to speak, inside the betzalim, inside the onions. So be very careful when you eat onions. Amas Reb Chanina, she'ochel chatzi batzel v'chatzi nachash shabai. He in fact ate only a half of an onion and half of the venom that was in that onion. V'chola, and unfortunately he became very sick, v'notalomus, and the doctor said, get ready to call the Chevra Kadisha. Ubikshu Chaverim Rachmam Olav, and his Chaverim went and were mispal, they said to him, Choya, Baruch Hashem, and he lived, and Neshashot, Tzricholoi, they needed Reb Chanina because Reb Chanina was one of the Gedoyli Hadar, they needed his Chochma, they needed his Hadracha, therefore they were Mispal. The Marsha, or other Mepharshim, ask, and what happens if the Ein Hashot, Tzricholoi, what happens if Reb Chanina was not that great Godel? Don't we go and say Tillim for everybody? I mean, every day, practically, I get emailed saying, please be Mispal for this one, and for that one, for that one, for this one, people I never heard of, and I probably will never hear of. So, does that mean I shouldn't say Tillim? I'll say Tillim for Mr. Smith, and for Mr. Jones, and for Mr. McGillicuddy, assuming that they're Jewish, and, of course, for Mr. Rosenberg and Greenberg, even if these are many people that I never met in my life. So what's the Gemara telling us? Only because Shatah Shat Tzvichalai? So I think it's the Marsha that says that the reason is because since Chazal tell us, don't go and eat Betzalim, and Reb Chanina went and ate Betzalim, see, he is in a sense violating what Chazal tell us. So I might think, if that's the case, you know, Sekimtim, he deserves it, because if you ignore Chazal that tell us that this is dangerous, then you do it at the peril of your life. And maybe go and teach a lesson to everybody else, you know, follow Chazal literally and don't play games. However, because he was such a great person, that the Dor needed him for his Chochma and his Tzidkus, etc. Therefore they said, we're going to go Mivakish Rachmim, and Baruch Hashem, they were successful. V'chay. Dogmar Vait, Omrim Zeyra Omishmul. Sheikhar Ma'arvin boy, you can go and use beer for an Erev. Upoisel Samikvah, Bishloishis Lugim. We know that there's a din of Mayim She'uvim, that if you have rainwater, but before you filled up your mikvah with 40 so of rainwater, you poured in some Mayim She'uvim, which is regular tap water. Tap water cannot be tapped for the mikvah, unless and until you filled up the mikvah with 40 so, and then you can go and add as much Mayim She'uvim as you want. But until that point, you can't start a mikveh with Mayim Shuvim, and the shir is Shloishes Lugim. So Yimori says the same thing, says Shmuel, the Gabi Sheikhar, it's also Shloishes Lugim. It's Maskar of Kahana Pshita, V'chimah Bein Zer L'meit Tseva. What is Shmuel being Mechadish? I know this from a Mishnah, that Nan Rabbi Yossi Oyman Meit Tseva. Meit Tseva means water that has some sort of dye in it, maybe like Kool-Aid, or maybe dye to go and dye clothing, but it's essentially water with some dye. Places a mikvah shloishes logan, and so therefore the same thing should apply to Sheikhar. What's the chiddush of Shmuel? Evdimora Amri Hasa May the Tziva Mikri. There it's called water, and we're talking about the psul of Mayim Sheuvin. So dyed water, colored water, is Mayim Sheuvin mitpasul shloishes logan. B'hocha Shikra Ikri. Here we're not talking about water; we're talking about beer. A totally different subject. So I might think that maybe there's a different shir. Kamash Mulan, it's place to make from Bishloshes look. Fine. So now Shmuel also said Sheikham Arvin by, you can use beer for an Erev. Who become the Arvin? What's the shir by the beer? It's cause I'm sorry, Sovar of Acham Rey, Rav Yosef Kamer, Rav Yosef Lemeimar, betrayin Rive Shikra. He wanted to say that the shir is two Rive. Now this is not two Reviasim, but rather, says Rashi, these are two Loigin. Now, why is this two Loigin? Because although normally when we say Revius, it means Revius Haloig. Here we're talking about Trey Lugin because a Loig itself is a Roiva Hakav. It's a quarter of a Kaf. So here we're not talking about a Revius of a, or two Reviusin, which are Reviusin of a Loig, a quarter of a Loig, but rather we're talking about two Loigin, because each Loig itself is Revius of a Kaf. The reason I'm stressing that is because you'll see that will become important as we go through our Gemara. Kedinan, like we learned in the Mishnah, Voshteit in the Mishnah, a Mishnah in Mesechtes, it brings you Mesechtes Shabbos, yeah, Mesechtes Shabbos, we had not too long ago, the Gavi Hilchus Haitzor on Shabbos. It says, Hamoitzi Yain Kedei Bezigas Akais. As you recall, Haitzah, of course, is one of the Lama Tes Molachis, and the amount of things that you're over, the quantity that you're over, depends on the item, whether it's a food item, whether it's a drink, whether they are kalim, all different things. And the Mishnah has a whole list of different shiurim for purposes of Haitzah B'Shavs. So it says in the Mishnah, Hamoitzi Yain Kedei Bezigas Akais. If you go and are Moitzi Mershus L'Rishus, from Shusiyachot to Shusarabim, for instance, the amount of wine, how much the amount of wine can be Mezigas Akais. Now, what means Mezigas Akais? Here we're talking about pure wine that has not been diluted yet. Now, we're not talking about wine that we buy in the store today. Wine that we buy in the store today is fully diluted. You don't need to add any water to that. In fact, if you add too much water to it, it gets a shaila of a bracha, whether it's a bayir pri gofen or whether it's a shahakal, because it's already heavily diluted. Here we're talking about pure wine that comes out from the bath, from the gas, from the wine press, and you haven't diluted it yet. So says the Gemara, the amount of yayin that you're over on carrying on Shabbos is the amount of wine which you would add to water, or which you would add water to it, to get to Revias on Shabbos. What are we referring to? We're talking a kois yofa. What's my kois yofa? Says the Gemara, kois shel bracha. Kois shel bracha means not only kois shel bracha after benching, but it would also be a kois that you make a bracha on, such as for kiddush. And how much is that? That, of course, is a revias. A revias is the minimum amount that you have to have for kiddush and for kois shel bracha. The Gemara Nachman Amar Bavavua. Kois shel bracha tzarich shehei bo roiva revias kidei sheyim zigenu v'yamar al revias. Oh, says Rav Nachman Amar Bavua, that for kiddush and for kois shel bracha, the amount of undiluted wine is a quarter of a revias, so that if you add water, three parts of water, one part of wine, then you get now a full revias. Ukirov, the Amarov, called Chamra, Kalidori Al-Khad, Tlas, Maya. Any wine that you have not mixed with the proportion of one part wine, three parts of water, mix those together. If you didn't do that, Lav Chamrahu, it doesn't have the status of wine. Anyway, so what do I see from this? That when it comes to Itzor and Shabbos, the amount is a quarter of a revias. Uktani Sefer. Ushar kol mashkin, however, all other mashkin this year is berevias. If you are any other mashkin, which would be beer, which would be presumably Coca-Cola, and orange juice, and apple juice, and everything else, the shir is revias. V'chol ha-shoifchen, shoifchen is referring to sewage, means disposable water, berevias. Anyway, that's what it says in the Mishnah in Mesechtes Shabbos. And now the Gemara is making a diuk. Mirahasam al-chad arba, notice what's the difference in proportion between wine and shar kol ha-mashkis. Shar kol ha-mashkin. The Gabi wine, we said it's a roiva revias. It's a quarter of revias. And here we're saying that all other mashkin are a full revias. So mirahasam al-chad arba, since the difference between wine and all other mashkois for purposes of Yitzhoa Shabbos is a 4-to-1 ratio, is Ochanami, I would have assumed that the same thing is Al-Khad Arba, that the same thing applies over here too. Now what means the same thing over here too? That when it comes to the amount that you suppose that you put away for an Erev, we said before, according to Rav and according to the Mishnah, you put away 2 revias. And remember, we said that those are 2 revias, and each one a revias halayk. Now, since there are 4 revias halayk, so that means that the 2 together are a half halayk. Since we just finished saying in our Mishnah that, in this discussion, that when it comes to Haitzah on Shabbos, Shar Mashkin are 4 times the amount of wine. Wine is roiv revias, all other mashkis are a revias, so it's a proportion of 4-to-1. So I'm assuming here too, hachanami al-chad arba, that it's 4-to-1. And since by wine it's a half of a loig, 2 revias in which are half of a loig, so 4 times a half of a loig is 2 loigin, which is what Rav Yosef started off with at the very outset. Right? The Gemara asked, what's the shir? Kamam arvin. So Rav Acham, Rei Rav Yosef, Kamei de Rav Yosef, Lemeimer, betrayin revoi shichra, that means 2 loigin, because Rashi says each loig is a quarter of a kav. So that being the case, that's what he assumed, that it was 4 times as much. Says Mar v'loi, says Yomara, no, that's really not the case. Hasim hu debatzmi hachi leichashiv. Avol hacha loy davidi inchi deshasuv kasa betafra bekasa bepanya v'samchi ilavayim. You thought that the shear would be 4 times as much, and therefore you assume, therefore, it's 2 loigin. No, you don't need 2 loigin. All you need is 2 koises, like 2 revisim. 1 to drink in the morning and 1 to drink in the evening. In other words, that's what the normal amount of drink that you would drink at 2 sudais. Some chilavayim people are happy with that. They drink 1 good cup of coffee in the morning, 1 good cup of wine in the evening, whatever. In other words, and they live on that. Of course, they eat other things too. But the point is, that's the amount for the shtei sudais. So here too, when we're talking about the sheichar, it's not the two loigen, but two koises, one in the morning, one in the evening. And now we go on to dates. Tomorrow and bekam. How much? Omer of Yosef, tomorrow and bekam. It's a kav of dates. Omer of Yosef, how do I know that it's a kav? Tesanya, ochel groigres v'shilim, tomorrow and tovei olav bracha. This is talking about hilchois truma. If a zor eats truma b'shoigeg, he has to return keren v'choymish. Now the keren, he doesn't give money, but he has to give another food item, which until now is chulin, but which magically will be transformed into truma, since it's the truma compensation. The person by accident ate truma, it's a shogeg, now he's paying back, he pays back with chulin, and that chulin will get the status of truma. Okay, so it says in the Braisa, if you ochel groigus, which are dried figs, v'shilim tomorrow, and he gave back fresh dates, tovil abracha, he deserves to get maftir, or deserves to be the guest of honor at the next shul dinner, tovil abracha, doing such a great thing. So let's try to analyze what's the case. Are we saying that the groigus and tomorrow are worth the exact same amount that the groigus was worth, a dollar, and the tomorrow are worth a dollar? So Ibazoi, Maitavula Bracha, Bezuza Ocha, Bezuza Kamishala. He ate $1 worth and he paid back a dollar's worth. Why does he deserve as Aganza Bracha? As it was what Elavafi Mida. Oh, it must be that he ate one measure and he gave back a similar measure but of a different commodity. To Ochamine Griva de Groigris, he ate the size of a griva of groigris of dried figs. The Shav Yezuza, which is worth only Yezuza. The Kamashalimle, Griva de Tamarim, the Shavi Arba. And now he's paying back the measure of Tamarim, which is worth 4. Uktani Tovi Ola Bracha. And he says, Tovi Ola Bracha, Alma Tamarim Adidi. So I see Tamarim Abzad as that. And it's more important than groigris. And on the Omed Aleph, when we were talking about groigris, remember I told you we're going to mention it on the Omed Beis, we said in the Brisa and the Mishnah that the share of groigris is v'kav groigris. So if by groigris it's a kav, so l'chari tomorrow should certainly be a kav. And if the Gemara wants to bring a raya that tomorrow become a tomorrow b'kav. Omli Abayis, Abayis said, you really don't have a raya, Rabbi Yosef. It could be that the value, when we say that this person ate by accident groigris and he's paying back tomorrow, it's taka talking about that the exact same value. He ate a dollar's worth of groigris, he pays back a dollar's worth of tomorrow. Ah, you ask my Tovah Lebracha, he ate a one zuz and he's paying back a zuz, so whisk became to the bracha. Because groigris is not the type of thing that people buy. There's no great demand for dried groigris, dried figs. Why not? Because you probably have dried figs throughout the year. After all, they're dried, so you can get them throughout the winter, throughout the summer. It's not a hot commodity. Mashenki is talking about fresh tamarim. Fresh tamarim are probably only fresh and ripe during the harvest season when they are harvested. So that's already a hot item. So he's saying, that's why Tavu Lebracha, he took truma and he ate this truma. These old dried out figs could be already a year old. And now he ate them. Okay, you know, he did a mistake. He shouldn't have done it. And now he's paying back to the Koyim fresh, ripe dates. The Koyim must be smiling from ear to ear and say, oh, wow, I haven't had a fresh date now in 6 months or in a year. This is great. And that's why Tavoy Allah Bracha. Anyway, so Lamaisa, we have no Raya Vagabi the Shir for Erevin. Now let's continue on to Shtisa. Pusa Shtisa. Shtisa is a ma'achol, is a food item that is made, says Rashi, from Kemach Koli. Koli is newly ripened grain, which you didn't allow to go and dry out in the field, but rather you wanted to eat it quickly. We have in the Torah, v'lechi, v'lechem, v'koli, v'charmel, lo'y soichu ad a yoyim hazeh, Ari v'yachem es korban l'keichem, chukas oimer l'beresechem, chol moshveseichem, that you have to go and bring the korban oimer before you can go and eat any of the new tvua. So one of the things is lechem koli v'charma. What's koli? Koli means these brand new kernels of grain, and to be able to eat them, you have to go and toast them inside an oven so that they become dried out, and then you go and grind them up, and you add some honey, and it's really gishmak. Everybody loves shtisa. So Omer, so what's the shear for the shtisa? Is Omer of Achabar Pinchas, Trey Shargushi Kisani. Oh, the shear is like two Shargushi Kisani. What is Shargushi Kisani? So Rashi says Shargushi is Tarvadin. What's a Tarvid? We've had a Tarvid a number of times. A Tarvid is a ladle. You have Tarvid Rekev, unfortunately, decomposed mess nebuch. You have a tarvid, you have a ladle full of that. So that's two ladlefuls. Kisni, says Rashi, a cloyus. Oh, the koli that we're talking about. You take two ladlefuls of these cloyus, of these newly ripened kernels of wheat or barley, whatever. That's the shear for the shtisa. Two of them. Our Abaye. Abaye says, I have a different shear. Trebuni de Pumbedisa. If you come to my town, to Pumbedisa, there they have a midah, they have a measure called the buna. So if you come there, you'll get two buni of Pumbedisa. That's the same shear, or that's the shear of the shtisa. Elsewhere, Rashi says a buni doesn't mean just a shear, but it means a fistful, or handful. Omrabai, Omrali M, since we got onto this subject about the koli, about these fresh kernels of wheat, so Abaye said in the name of his mother, and whatever we see, Omrali M, it doesn't mean his biological mother, because Abaye's biological mother passed away in labor or shortly thereafter, and therefore we have a stepmother that brought him up, and Abaye apparently was so fond and had so much respect for his stepmother, he quotes her often in Shas, that she was a very wise woman and gave very, very wise hadracha, guidance and advice. So Omer Abaye, Omer Em, my stepmother told me, Hani Kisani, these koli that we're talking about, these toasted kernels of wheat, Maulaliba, they're very good for the heart. Umavatli machshavta, and it also takes away, says Rashi, daga. A person that has all types of daigas, all types of worries, he can take this instead of having to go to the psychologist, and start taking all types of pills. All he has to do is eat these kolis. Ah, so gishmak, it takes away all your daigas, all your problems. The Omer Abaye, Omer Li Em, my stepmother told me, Haiman the Isle Chulshin Daliba, what happens if a person feels a little bit weak-hearted? Laisi, he should bring Bisra, Basar, meat, the Atma, Atma usually means the thigh of the animal, Yamina, the right thigh, the Dichra, Dichra is another name for an Ayil, Ayil is a ram. So go and bring the right thigh of a ram, Velaisi, and also bring Kivuye Dereisa Denisin. Rashi says Kivuye Dereisa means Tzfiye Bokar. Tzfiye Bokar means Tzoya. That means excrement. Don't worry, Chas Hashem, we're not talking about eating it, Chalila. But you go and bring the excrement from the cows during the month of Nisan. If you like a Kivuye Dereisa, what happens if you don't have, you cannot find it? Or, for instance, it's in the middle of the year, it's in the middle of El, where you don't have Tzfiye Bokar from Nisan lying around. So what do you do now? Laisi sugaini de arvisa. Arvisa reminds us of the arava tree, the weeping willows that we use with our lulav. And sugaini, says Rashi, are kismin. Kismin is like little twigs of the weeping willow tree. And in each case, either the case of the tzvi bakar of nisin, of the excrement, or of these twigs, v'nechabave, go and burn them and produce cold or charcoals, and then go and take the bistra de atma, yamina de dichra, go and take the right thigh of the ram, and go and roast it on top of those charcoals, the nechel, and you should eat it, v'nishti basrei chamra, and after that go and drink some chamra marka. Chamra marka means wine that has been diluted appropriately with water, then eat and drink that together, and that will take away the chush of the liba. The person will no longer be weak-hearted. He will be strong-hearted. He should have a good, gesund heart. And we'll stop over here, Rabbi Yisai, and continue mentioning tomorrow. Any questions, Rabbi Yisai?
tomorrow at 7:45.
Mitzvah 7:45 in person for all those that will be Zocha Mitzvah Shem to be at Rabbi Forehand Shtiebel on the west side. And if that experiment works out well, in other words, if we're able to do the Zoom from the Ezra's Noshim, we'll do that Mitzvah every day for the foreseeable future. However, since the internet connections may not be perfect, we may have to improvise and come up with backup solutions. But for the time being, Mitzvah tomorrow morning, after davening, so that should be a uniform time for all, 7:45. If we happen to be a couple minutes late and you're already on 7:45, don't be nervous. Mitzvah will be there. And if we finish davening extra early, we'll wait to Mitzvah with lots of patience. 7:45, Mitzvah will start. Tomorrow's daf, hopefully by Zoom. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Isai. Any questions? Mr. Marius pointing to something. Yes, well, there are plenty of Gemaras at Fonz. You don't have to bring your Gemara. We'll have to unearth them. But in fact, they're the beautiful Gemaras that Dudi bought already last year with beautiful pictures in the back. Mr. Marin is showing us something, probably the email.
The same Zoom link.
Even though now I'm in Monroe, tomorrow on the west side, use the same Zoom link. And we'll resume Mietchim tomorrow with the Zoom.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day, David Reese. Good to see you, Steve, Brother Shai, Daniel, everybody, Mr. Mann. Great to see all of you.